This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
This is CHLY 101.7 FM, broadcasting from downtown Nanaimo and streaming online at chly.ca. You're listening to People First Radio. Addiction is a chronic and progressive health issue affecting the body, mind, and spirit of individuals with chemical dependency. Not only does addiction affect the addicted person, but it has a significant impact on family, workplace, and community systems as well. But recovery is possible. According to the 2012 Statistics Canada Mental Health Survey, approximately 4.9 million Canadians are living in either short or long-term addiction recovery. Recovery Speaks is a series of presentations designed to educate individuals, families, workplaces, and policymakers, as well as the people in recovery. Recovery Speaks is hosted by the Cedars at Cobble Hill Society, a nonprofit organization on Vancouver Island.
I spoke earlier this week with Neil Berger. He's the executive director at Cedars and also the presenter for Recovery Speaks. I began by asking him why they've launched this discussion series.
We're committed to educating people about probably the reality that recovery exists. I mean, right now, generally when people, if they're inclined at all to talk about addiction, the conversation generally turns toward something going on the downtown east side of Vancouver or some discussion about crime and drugs and that whole picture that gets presented over and over and over in the media. And we want to let people know that there is another picture to look at. I mean, part of it is for, as serious as that problem is, that drug problem that's presented on the downtown east side and the drug problem as it relates to crime, there's a much bigger problem in homes across Canada and in business and industry across Canada where people are losing relationships, their health, jobs, destroying futures, losing educations because of the way they're involved with alcohol, drugs, eating disorders in themselves or in their families. And that rarely gets looked at. That doesn't get exposed. And part of the problem is because immediately people think drugs, alcohol, downtown Eastside, and they don't see the far bigger picture. And the reason we're tagging it about Recovery Speaks is because there's a really compelling story to be told in that most people that we get through treatment programs, most people that we work with in industry that have addiction problems, in fact, get into recovery and go on and lead vital, meaningful lives. And that story almost never gets told. And historically, one of the reasons it hasn't been told is it tends to be hidden. It's hidden away in church basements under the name of anonymity and programs like that. And we just think that's a really important story to be told. We need to, you know, it's one of the things that typically happens in families where there's addiction is they don't talk about it. It just never gets spoken. I mean, if I have any other kind of disease, people will go to the neighbors. They go anywhere they can to try and get help. Families come in and support. But when the problem is addiction or some of the other mental health problems, they don't talk about it. They cover it up. They don't let it be known, and they suffer in silence. Well, we want to see if we can't change that in a fairly public kind of way and start a different type of conversation. So Recovery Speaks will hopefully draw people in from a variety of different areas for who knows what kind of reason. It's interesting, whenever I speak to a large crowd, and occasionally I'll speak at conferences where there are, you know, a lot of people there, and I'll ask a question, you know, how many of you know someone or have someone in your own family who has either lost a life or suffered tremendous loss as a result of someone's use of alcohol and drugs? And, you know, it's pretty rare that all of the hands don't go up, and yet it never gets talked about. So Recovery Speaks is an effort to try and change that and let people know mostly that there are the recovery is an amazing possibility that's available.
One of the stated goals of Recovery Speaks is to mobilize the recovery community itself to advocate for recovery and help people overcome their addictions. Tell us more about the involvement of the recovery community.
I think that's really important. I know I happen to be someone who personally had the good fortune of being treated for alcoholism a long time ago. And in my professional capacity, whether it's teaching or speaking in public, I'm always open about the fact that I had alcoholism, was treated for it, it's been successful, and it's worked out very well. And I know that the impact that I'm able to have when people come up and talk to me afterwards is related much more to my sharing of my own personal history rather than to any great wisdom I shared with them during the presentation. Recovery is a very compelling story, and I think people in recovery have an awful lot to share. They simply know more, and I don't think they need to worry about, you know, compromising the principles of anonymity of some of the 12-step programs because they shouldn't be sharing that. But the fact that they've had this illness, something happened, there was an intervention of some type, some sort of treatment happened, and now they're in recovery, is a story that can really benefit a lot of people. And when you get a group of recovering people together, it presents an amazing picture that sits in direct opposition to the picture presented by things like the Downtown East Side. And I just think it's really important to mobilize them and make recovery visible.
You've spoken about the Downtown East Side and the concepts of crime and drugs. I'm wondering, what are some of the other misconceptions about addiction and recovery from addiction to alcohol and drugs?
Well, I think one of the biggest myths and one that we fight all the time is this notion that people tend to have that if someone who has alcoholism or drug addiction, if they don't want help, they can't be helped. And nothing could be further from the truth. We've got probably at least 30 years of evidence that says that someone's motivation for getting help is not a good predictor of the outcomes of that help. We've been, you know, encouraging employers to coerce people into treatment for years. We've been doing family interventions since the 70s where families will use whatever leverage they can to get someone into treatment. Professionals whose licenses are at stake are ordered to go to treatment or they can't practice anymore, and their outcomes are terrific. It's a type of madness for people to stand around and watch the someone who's suffering a brain disease such as addiction, who constantly, repeatedly makes irrational choices, and they're going to sit around and wait for that person to suddenly show a burst of rational thinking and make good decisions. And that's just not going to happen. So people can do whatever, the trick is do whatever they can to get people into some type of help.
Is there a perception out there that treatment doesn't really work? And I'm thinking about so-called celebrities and high-profile individuals who are portrayed as going in and out of treatment again and again and again.
Yeah, I think that's damaging. I think it really is. Sadly, there are a lot of... I sit on a panel every year, and we judge films down in Los Angeles for how addiction and mental health issues are presented in major films, television, and things like that. And I know from being down there, there's a lot of high-profile celebrity people that are in recovery, but again, they're quiet, they're secretive about it, and it's not necessary. Unfortunately, the news stories tend to generate towards these kind of dramatic ones where and we all know the type we're talking about, the ones that repeatedly over and over and over again are in one kind of trouble or another. You also raise a question, though, that is interesting, a change in thinking that is required. Treatment, if we're thinking of treatment as anywhere from a 5-day to a 10 or a 42-day program, and thinking that's going to be some sort of a remedy for addiction, that really doesn't work. This is a chronic problem, requires getting somebody to the point to where they now have the skills to manage this chronic disease long term. And so, like when we work with addicted professionals, generally they're at some level of care for anywhere from 2 to 5 years. So this notion that we're going to send somebody off to a treatment program and some miracle is going to take place and now life's going to be just wonderful, that happens occasionally, but this really is a chronic illness that needs to be managed over time. And what we think of in terms of treatment is just a part of that.
You've said that there are a number of paths to recovery. What are some of those paths?
Depending on the stage of intervention, how soon someone gets help, I've been absolutely stunned, especially over the last 10 years, to know what a powerful tool education alone is. We do education in workplaces and in universities where the single greatest predictor of who's going to get in trouble with alcohol or drugs should they decide to use them is going to be found in the family history. Most researchers now will suggest that genetics alone will account for probably 70% of the causation behind addiction. Presented early enough, it's amazing how many people will come to rational decisions and say things like, well, geez, my dad died of, he was alcoholic. Now, we never talked about it, but he died of cirrhosis and everybody knew he drank himself to death. I really shouldn't use alcohol, should I? And they decide, no, I really shouldn't. I happen to come from a family where the males are just littered with heart disease. I can't do anything about that, but my behavior has been very different for a long time, having that knowledge. And we find that where we can get knowledge about addiction up on the table, people, before they're in a lot of trouble, can make good decisions and avoid getting into trouble at all. We also find when people are still at work functioning, but they're beginning to show symptoms of alcoholism or drug addiction, if they receive proper medical interventions, could be a family doc, although that family doc quite likely doesn't have the training to know how to do a good evaluation for alcoholism. But if they do, they can be put on a recovery schedule and monitored over time, and they do quite well. It usually involves 12-step work, but not always. When it gets more serious, then you're probably looking at a case where people are going to benefit from a period of residential care.
Neil Berger, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
No, I think that the most important thing is, and I know there is much to be gained, that we simply need to start having a conversation. For as big a problem as this is, no one talks about it. And I think we need to change that.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Neil Berger is Executive Director of the Cedars at Cobble Hill Society. You can find them online at cedarscobblehill.com. Kevin, when and where are the Recovery Speaks presentations being offered?
Okay, Victoria, BC, on November the 17th at the Belfry Theater, and this is from 7 to 10 p.m. The title of this presentation is Addiction and the Family System. Now, this will be repeated in Nanaimo, Addiction and the Family System, on December the 11th at the Malaspina Theater at Vancouver Island University, from 6:30 to 9:30.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.